Everyone doing? I call this meeting to order of the 90th session of the Senate of the Associated Students on Wednesday, July 20th at 5:30 p.m. First order of business, Pledge of Allegiance. May everyone please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Going ahead and moving into our next item of business, roll call.
Speaker Thompson.
Present.
Senator Berggren.
Present.
Senator Brown. Senator Brown.
Brown, are you present? Excused.
Senator Bryan.
Present.
Senator Ocasio-Cortez.
Present.
Senator Klassen.
Present.
Senator Dean.
Senator Dean is absent, excused.
Senator Firlo.
Senator Firlo is absent, excused.
Senator Galvez.
Present.
Senator Gonzalez.
Senator Gonzalez is absent, excused.
Senator Greb.
Senator Greb is absent, excused.
Senator Jojen.
Present.
Senator Kane.
Senator Kane is absent, excused.
Senator Kerman Shahi.
Senator Kerman Shahi, are you present? Senator Kerman Shahi is tardy and excused.
Senator Kuhl.
Senator Kuhl is absent, excused.
Senator Landolfi.
Present.
Senator McCauley.
It looks like she is present. Senator McCauley.
Is people, right? And how people work.
Senator
McCauley, are you present? I could see her unmuting. It looks like she might just be having audio issues. But she is present.
Okay. Senator Nithyanandan, are you there?
Present.
Senator Noble?
I'm present.
Senator No?
Present.
Senator Perez Ramirez?
Present.
Senator Salah?
Present.
Senator Smith?
Senator Smith, are you present? Senator Smith is tardy and excused.
Senator Swackhammer.
Present.
Senator Toybell.
Present.
And Senator Tagling.
Senator Tagling, are you present? Senator Tagling is absent, unexcused, or sorry, tardy, unexcused.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Thank you. So out of respect for our guest speakers tonight, we're going to go ahead and start with agenda item 18A first. First up, we have a presentation from our Apple campus leader, Kiara Steinhorst. She's going to go ahead and share a little bit about what her position entails and kind of how we could help her as ASUN in her role as a campus leader. So whenever you'd like to begin, you can go, Kiara, and I enabled screen sharing if you'd like to share your screen for anything.
Awesome, thank you. So I don't have a presentation today. I wanted this to be more of a conversation between the senators and myself.
I'm going to stop you for just one moment. I made a
okay.
And I skipped over public comment. So I'm just going to hop back to agenda item 5. Is there any public comment at this time? Right, Senator Berggren.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to announce some information about Campus Paths before we get into our agendized items this evening. So I have some information from Dean Kennedy and also Campus Paths themselves. So if you guys don't know what Campus Paths is, it is essentially this new website that was introduced into my special committee last session. And this website is essentially a Zillow for college students. So this is going to provide a lot of availability for apartments, condos, housing, or just any general housing that is available within the Reno community. This website, the best part about this website is that it's going to provide a lot of transparency, which includes reviews for the property. So, and also provide a lot of information regarding the landlords and a lot of crucial information such as pets on the property, quality of the property, and also, ironic enough, how much a 12-month lease is. I know a lot of popular housing options in our area does not have a lot of information on how much a lease is, so it will have all of that. The other awesome part about this website is a three-strike system. So let's say there's a multitude of problems or issues that take place on a piece of property and the landlord were to dismiss it or just ignore it. That is considered a strike. So if there is enough strikes, then that website or that property can be moved off the website, which is awesome because there has been a lot of miscommunication in our area, I'm sure as everyone knows. It will also include RHA buildings, which I think will be incredibly beneficial for incoming students. This will also allow them to be introduced to this new resource even when they do move off of campus, which is awesome. And this website is only helpful once students and everyone start promoting this and advertising it. And once we start putting property up, Nevada GSA was awesome. And they made a post already on Instagram. I'm not sure if already some of you saw. And it will be effective April 1st. But yeah, I'm really excited. This is more updates to come. This is a really small but huge step to transparency in housing. It's very needed. But yeah, if anyone wanted to help or add any more details or just wanted to hear anything else, please reach out as always. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Berger. And as always, it's really exciting to be able to see projects that have been worked on in past sessions come to life. If you get a chance, would you mind sending the link to Campus Pads either in our GroupMe or send out an email to the listserv with the details just so that anyone that would like to pass that information around can? Thank you. All right, we'll go ahead and move into Director Wolfgang.
Awesome. I have two public comments. My first one is going to be the reading of the land acknowledgement. So to begin, it is important to recognize that this space and place that we are able to live, work, and learn in is on traditional homelands of many Indigenous groups. We acknowledge that the University of Nevada, Reno is situated on the traditional homelands of the Numu, Northern Paiute, Washu, Washoe, Nuwa, Western Shoshone, and Nuwave, Southern Paiute peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for Indigenous peoples, and we recognize their deep connections to these places. It is in this moment we recognize their connection to this land and honor their powerful legacy. I think it's important that we read this. I'll be reading it for every public comment for all the Senate meetings that I'm going to be at, and hopefully we can introduce it in some sort of formal way after I'm no longer director for it to be read. And my second public comment is, so in collaboration with my advisor, Becca, and Vice President Fitzpatrick, Pride signups and involvement is kind of in full swing right now. So I was just going to do a little bit of a promotion for that right now. I'm going to send you all the links for Pride. So this first link I'm sending is for folks that want to partake in the parade specifically. So feel free to sign up for the parade. I'm looking to get all volunteers Pride shirts. So the request for that was just sent in. So hopefully we'll be able to purchase all of those tomorrow or the day after and have a bunch of shirts for all the volunteers. So that first link is for the parade specifically. And the second link is for the booth volunteering. It needs a little bit less people because the booth is much smaller than obviously the parade is in itself. So feel free to sign up, be there, you know, meet the community, make these connections. I think it's a great opportunity to really bridge that gap we see with connecting to the community and ASUN itself. We just recently got a shipment of the new ASUN Pride flags. So these are the progress flags. I have them in the idea office. So if y'all would like one, this is just the hand flags. If you would like one, just let me know. You can feel free to come by and grab one. Yeah, so I think it's a really awesome opportunity to connect with the community. So I'd love for y'all to sign up. Feel free to send it to your friends if they're here in Reno, if they are part of ASUN as an undergrad student. They can sign up to volunteer as well. They don't need to hold an officer position. Yeah, I think that's all of my updates about Pride. So thank you all so much.
Thank you, Director Wolfgang. We'll go ahead and move to Chief Justice Taylor.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to come in and like Trace solicit some attendance to an event. This has nothing to do with what I do in ASUN, but my summer internship office is holding a youth-led climate justice initiatives event on Zoom on Thursday, August 4th at 3 p.m. our time. So if you would like to attend, since I know a lot of you have goals about sustainability and stuff like that, I have sent that information to Director Rowe.
Thank you. Is there any more public comment at this time? And we'll go back down to agenda item 18 the right time this time. So once again, I just want to introduce our Apple campus leader, Kiara Steinhorst, and you can go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hello again. So like I said before, I don't have a presentation today. I want this to be a question and answer discussion. I am the Apple campus leader for UNR. What that means is I'm a full corporate employee for Apple, and I'm here to help assist in building the Apple brand on campus. And so part of that is supporting the Digital Wolfpack Initiative, also known as the iPad One-to-One program, also known as the Freshman iPad program. It's important to note that that program has transitioned and now all incoming transfer students will be getting iPads as well. I know there's a lot of thoughts and feelings about how this program is run and a lot of feedback to hear. So first, I'd love to get any questions that you might have about the program. And then I have some exciting news to share about programming this year with Apple services. So first, let's go to questions for me. Yeah, Emma?
Hi. I just had a quick question on how, I believe we asked this last session. I think we had a really similar situation with iPads, obviously on campus every year. And I'm sure this question has been asked to you before, but do we ever see any kind of service where iPads are provided to every student instead of just freshmen, or if there's any kind of like service where all students benefit from Apple services or if anything like that, if you know what I mean, you can also ask me to elaborate.
Yeah. So currently the program is just slated for freshmen as a four-year investment. So there is room for the program to grow, and I, as a campus leader, would love it if upperclassmen were given iPads as well. The issue is just in funding for the iPads. I hope everyone is aware, but no student tuition goes towards the funding of the iPads, and President Sandoval has been very clear that no student tuition fees, et cetera, goes towards paying for the iPads. So all of that funding comes from separate allocation areas. And so to get that funding, it has to be pulled from different places. And they currently don't have the funds to make something like that happen. And there also has not been a lot of public student input that iPads are wanted for upperclassmen. I've been doing my best to, encourage iPads to be distributed to all students. My sister is an upperclassman who feels similarly that, again, going through the 2020 school year and having to endure college without the correct technical supplies is definitely difficult. So that's where ASUN can come in and see where we can build pathways between the university, where we can share the feedback that, again, students really do want this to happen. I am only one person, so an ASUN, legislation piece might be more, beneficial to making something like that happen. Does that answer your question? Awesome. I see Faiza. Let me know if I pronounced that incorrectly.
You pronounced my name correct.
Awesome. Okay. What is your question?
Am I good to go, Speaker Thompson?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I believe that there are iPads at the Outland that upperclassmen can check out. Do you know the stats on how often those iPads are utilized?
Yes, so it is my understanding that all of those iPads are checked out relatively quickly for the semester. And so it's kind of difficult to get an iPad if you aren't one of the first students to get into the At-One. Something that UNR is doing is backfilling those iPads. So the way the program works is that any student enrolled at the university gets an iPad. If you decide to drop out or for any reason leave the university, you do have to return that device, or you can buy back the device for a lower cost. So any devices that are returned to the university for a student that drops out or leaves for any reason are then taken to the At-One and used for students to check them out. So they're slowly increasing the number of iPads available at the At-One. And I know that some more were purchased in this last purchase order for more iPads at the At-One because we have seen a great demand for them there. So that's kind of what happens there. They are available, but it's definitely difficult to get one. And Nathan?
Thank you, Ms. Steinhorst. I definitely appreciate all the work that you've done for our campus.
Matter of fact, this issue is very near and dear to my heart, as many of my colleagues do know. However, when you were giving your description earlier, I couldn't help but notice the particular language that you used, investment. As a marketing student now, I've learned that savvy investors always expect to get something back when they make such an investment. And quite frankly, I would be in utter disbelief of the fact that Apple is doing this out of the goodness of their hearts. So I'm kind of curious, what do you guys get back from this investment, or what do you expect to get back? Student data, student labor, what is on the other side of this, I guess?
Yeah, so that's definitely a difficult question, and I appreciate your question. So first, I'd like to point out that Apple does not collect end user data at all. Privacy is one of our biggest Apple values, and so that's not something we're looking to collect, is student data. And I want to make that clear to everyone in attendance, is not student data. So the iPads are managed through the university, and the university is the only one that would technically have access, but that's only in extreme situations. The iPads are not monitored the same way a device would be monitored by, let's say, parental controls. So the investment, I don't have the information to give on, you know, what the return is like. I do know that President Sandoval is expecting to get more digital literacy. That's one of his main reasons for beginning the partnership with Apple. And that's one of his flagships, is he really wants to give every student the opportunity, no matter their financial situation, to have a device that really empowers them to learn at the same pace as everyone else in their classes. So I know that the devices can be expensive, and so being given one eliminates some of that financial concern for students who are first generation or who do not have, you know, the money to spend on an expensive device. So I hope that answers your question. If you have more to that question, feel free to, you know, go ahead and hit me with it.
Unfortunately, that didn't really address my question very well. Because as I understand it, digital literacy is the service that y'all provide to us. And as you said, President Sandoval is super psyched about it because it definitely elevates the university as a whole. I suppose I was asking more, what does Apple get out of this? Unless, of course, this is an act of charity.
Again, Apple is very concerned with education. That's another one of our core values. Is accelerating education. And so I am the campus leader. And so in my position, I support the program. And so while I do appreciate these questions, these are not questions that I have the information to answer, unfortunately. So I would definitely direct this question to President Sandoval. There are some Apple representatives that will be on campus for distribution, but this is not information that I personally have, because I'm the student liaison. So sorry to not answer that question, but I do appreciate the curiosity.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Ms. Steinhurst.
Any other questions about distribution, the program, any initiatives on campus?
A question myself, if there aren't any right now. Jeffrey, you can go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for coming here today. Well, one concern I had, I know when the initiative first even was implemented, was that, you know, just giving every freshman an iPad is great, but it doesn't ensure that people actually need technology in the first place for getting it, right? Because if you're just giving them out to everybody, it doesn't matter, you know, how much money they have, or even if they have an existing device. So I'm very curious, do you have any plans to make use of, like, you know, the overflow inventory to donate it to the F1 or any other services? Because I'm assuming, you know, every year there's at least going to be a good number of devices that are either, you know, students don't show up, students still, like, you know, either they return it, or, you know, like, students that either transfer out or, you know, just drop out. So all that extra inventory, do you have any plans to donate that to the At-One or to the university for free? That way you, those devices can get in the hands of students who actually need them.
Yes. So all overflow devices are directed towards the At-One. So all overflow for, again, any students that did not pick up, any students that drop out, transfer, et cetera, they all are directed to the At-One.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I knew that. I think a question I was trying to get to is, are you going to be donating more on top of that? Like, I know there's, like, already existing supply, but I know the At-One, even with that, is still very limited. So my concern was, is there plans to donate more on top of that?
Yes. So iPads have been secured to increase the allotment for the At One for this year. And again, as those overflow devices exist, there will be more added. Again, the issue that we're running into is that although students are voicing their opinions on, let's say, social media, those concerns are not getting all the way up to President Sandoval and the people that make these decisions. And I have voiced this concern several times over. And Apple is definitely interested in giving all students on campus a device. So it's definitely kind of something where ASUN can help raise the concern to President Sandoval that, again, all students are interested, because in my understanding, it was not well known to President Sandoval that it should be a priority that every student get a device this year.
Okay, and then I'll go ahead and ask my question. So now, seeing that this program has been around for about a full year and we've had the first group of freshmen, have you been a part of any discussions with the Office of the Provost? I believe they're the ones who run the Digital Wolfpack Initiative, on any of the feedback that they've gotten through the student surveys that they've sent out, and kind of how people feel that this initiative is going?
Yeah, so the feedback we've gotten is overwhelmingly positive, but there are mixed reviews. And that's where this year I'm trying to create some infrastructure to hopefully change. So there were some students that I got feedback from that said, you know, that they used Android or other, you know, non-Apple devices all of their life, and they weren't really confident on how to use the device. Or, you know, once Nevada Fit was over, they put it in a drawer and they didn't touch it again, just because they weren't interested in using an iPad. And so we do have some students that that is their use case. And we want to improve that so that way students are using it, because the contract that the student signs at the beginning to get their iPad says that they will be using it for their educational purposes. So in terms of the other students, a lot of students say, you know, they enjoy the note-taking ability. I know there are a lot of students who enjoy coding on their iPad. I know for engineering students, it runs MATLAB. And so that's really important, is that they can run MATLAB beside their professors in class, and then also be able to run it on a lab computer when they are in lab as well. So we have seen a lot of positive reactions. We also have seen, you know, a small number of students who aren't taking advantage of the devices, and that's where new infrastructure comes into play. All right. So I'm not sure if there are any other questions, but I'd like to dive into some of the new infrastructure that's coming to campus this year. So part of my role as a campus leader is hosting workshops for students. Last year, all of my workshops were virtual because that was our plan as Apple employees with the COVID-19 pandemic. So all of my workshops this year will be in person and hosted in the KC. So that way, any student that has questions about how to use their device, wants to know more about apps that they can use for their device, et cetera, can get help on that. I also will be participating in Nevada Fit and giving workshops during Nevada Fit, so students get a head start on their devices from the get-go. We did hear feedback from Nevada Fit mentors last year that was not on the positive end about the training that the mentors got on how to use the iPad. So we have made that change for this year. So that way, the mentor training looks different. The student training for iPads looks different, and overall, we hope it's more student-centric. I'm hoping to host workshops once a week in the KC, so that way students have that opportunity, and there will be cycling different topics, how to use Adobe Fresco and different Adobe Suite on your iPad for creativity, how to use your iPad for journalism, movie making, podcasting, etc. So it's really applicable for students in every major. On top of that, I'm hoping to bring some Apple services events to campus. With a show of hands, did anyone participate in either the Little Durk or the Harry Styles Apple Music Live concerts that happened the last 2 months? No? Okay. That's all right. So, Apple Music has partnered with artists to give live versions of concerts that are happening. And I personally watched the Harry Styles one because it was in New York. And so I'm hoping to bring either Apple TV Plus showings or Apple Music Live to UNR. And so that would partnership would look like kind of how the Joke Rally Student Union movie initiative looks. So students would be able to attend for free and, you know, maybe get popcorn and make it a social event so they could watch, you know, newest shows, movies, et cetera, that come out on Apple TV, and also watch any concerts that are coming out on Apple TV Plus. So I'm hoping to partner with programming to make this happen. I've already spoken with Ashley Martinez about, you know, ways that we can make this work for different students of all different types of majors. So that is in the pipeline. Any questions, thoughts on how to improve Apple relations? Any feelings about Apple relations on campus?
Sorry, just a quick question to clarify. So these would be sponsored by Apple, basically?
The term sponsored is one I'm not comfortable with, but it would be a partnership, and I am hoping that we can get the paperwork submitted so that way Apple Music can take care of potential costs.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I was gonna say that sounds kind of like a sponsorship, but that's why I had some, that's why I would have some concerns. It sounds like pretty much like sponsorship, and it seems like, you know, ASU and working with like a company like that would be a, I'd have some concerns over that, but yeah. Aside from that, though, I think it sounds fine. But I just want some more clarity on like if Apple's going to be footing the costs, you know, like what exactly they would expect from us in return, because it sounds like there would be like some contract being signed there.
Definitely, yeah. And so that's where I need to partner with programming to see, we have to write the proposal and submit it before it can get approved, and we can have those conversations of what potential contracts would look like, what the agreement would look like there. So I have never hosted one of these events before because everything was virtual and we didn't have the opportunity to host services events last year. But that's something that I'm looking forward to hopefully doing this year. I see, Nathan, you have your hand raised.
Yes. Now, as delightful as I guess pre-screenings of the morning show sounds, I must ask, what does Apple get out of all of this generosity? Because this is a very generous offer on your guys' part.
Yeah, and I appreciate your question, but I don't really have an answer for that question right now. Right now, you know, I'm hoping to just improve the student experience and let students know what Apple services have to offer. And so, you know, letting students experience what an Apple Music Live concert would be like, even though they might not be personal subscribers of Apple Music Live or Apple TV, and letting them enjoy that screening to see, you know, if they enjoy the content. If they don't, then that's totally okay. And if they do, then that's awesome. And hopefully they can attend more screenings in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yep. And finally, I just wanted to touch on Apple internships. So Apple internships are open in the fall for the summer. So they are regular summer internships, and there are internships available for students of all majors. So marketing internships, design, engineering, journalism. There are a lot of different career opportunities available at Apple, and we are trying to see if we can build a pathway from Apple to UNR, so that way there are employment opportunities in the future for students who might be interested. So more to come on that, but that's something that we are also hopefully looking into for the future. Awesome. Any last final questions? Thank you so much, everyone, for your time. I really appreciate it. And I appreciated all of the questions that you asked. Be on the lookout for iPad deployment. That's going to be happening in Nevada Fit opening weekend. There will be a lot of Apple professionals on campus for that weekend. If you do have more questions, you can field them, your questions, and as well as the Nevada Fit department. Felicia over in Nevada Fit is who handles the Nevada Fit preparations and iPad relations over there. Thank you so much, everyone. And I'm going to leave my email in the chat if anyone has further questions or wants to work on planning or anything like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Yara. Thanks again for taking your time out of the day, your day to come in and just talk about some of the things that are going around regarding the Digital Wolfpack Initiative and kind of what events could look like this year. If you haven't already gotten in contact with Director Zamudio, I could also, you know, give you her email as well, and then maybe we could talk a little bit more about getting some of those proposals together in that programming capacity.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So we'll go ahead and jump back up to agenda item number 7, reports of ASU and officers. We'll begin with President Stanfield. Do you have a report for us tonight?
I do. Hi, everybody. So just a quick few notes from me this week. First things first, I wanted to announce that I was recently appointed the NSA chair. NSA stands for Nevada Student Alliance. And it's a group of, thank you for the applause. It's a group of the various presidents from all of the higher education institutions. And we just kind of collaborate, and that was part of the campaign that I ran on. So I'm really excited to be working with various other institution presidents and beyond. And that's something that I haven't seen a lot in previous years from ASU, and so I'm excited to extend that. So more to follow. With that, I also had a great conversation with the chair of the Board of Regents, Chair Kathy McAdoo, the other day. Really great connection to have, and I'm really excited to continue working with her and all the regents this year. I've also been working pretty closely with other institution presidents. As you saw, potentially a couple weeks ago, we toured the CSUN offices, and then I'm forming a great relationship with not only WNC, but TMCC as well, and that'll extend. I'm also really excited tonight to share the CLDE conference reflection, so that's coming up. I have also met with various other departments, one of which was Hannah Altowitz with in regards to the strategies for student support in continuing a senior gift. That's something that the university hasn't practiced. It's not a tradition on campus, but that's something that we want to continue. So working with that. We also had a president's cabinet meeting this morning. I will also be attending the governor's dinner on this Friday. And that's something that typically the ASUN president and vice president and a few other officers will attend. Just for transparency, I didn't feel very comfortable buying tickets for the event because they're a couple hundred dollars. But I reached out to various other departments and Nevada Athletics, and I kind of just shared my, I expressed that I think students should be a part of every conversation at every table, and they agreed with me. So they gave us 2 tickets for free. So we're not using student fees for that, but we will still be a part of that conversation. We'll be meeting with Governor Sisolak, various regents, and other stakeholders within the state of Nevada. So I'm really excited to attend that with Vice President Fitzpatrick and Director Vaskov on Friday. And I'll report to you what we discussed the next Senate meeting. I've also been attending some of the student media and marketing interviews. Also, the Wolf Shop, currently the academic calendars are for sale for $7. And that's something that we produce ourselves. And all of those funds go directly into the Emergency Book Fund for students. So go check it out. All you had to do was go down to the Wolf Shop. I did it this morning and asked to see the calendars. They're just behind the desk. You'll probably recognize them. They're in a lot of the offices and various classrooms around campus. And they're pretty cute, I think. And just $7, and that goes directly to help students in need. So check it out. Consider purchasing one. They make great gifts as well. And then last thing, you may have seen the email that Dr. Rodriguez sent out, but we will be hosting a roundtable in regards to the external review and response to action plans and recommendations. So please fill out that form that she sent out so that students can be a part of that conversation and we can address some of the concerns that have been taking place recently. Other than that, stay strong, and I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Thank you, President Stanford. Are there any questions at this time? Senator Salah?
Will the academic calendars still be given out to freshmen? Because I remember, I think I got one during Nevada Fit.
I don't know. Can anybody else answer that question? I wasn't informed that they were given to freshmen. I think it might be something different. They're more like, I wouldn't say necessarily their academic calendar. Maybe they might be a different one, but they're just like, they're like this big, just like in their tearaways, and they've got like Nevada pictures on them. I think that might be different.
Are there any other questions? Perfect. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to Vice President Fitzpatrick. Vice President Fitzpatrick, do you have a report for us tonight?
Yes, I do. I'm excited to see your guys' faces again, some of you who have your cameras on. So quick update, I've been meeting with some student medias, specifically the Sagebrush, to talk about, I call it hashtag save the Sagebrush, to talk about their funding models in the future and how we can continue to support our student medias. They have a lot of great ideas, none of which are super solidified yet, but I'm excited to help them through all the hurdles that come with finding new funding models. I also was able to meet with Director Trace and talk about all of the things that lead up to Pride and send out those sign up sheets. So make sure you're signing up for Pride. We'd love to see all of you guys there. I'm really excited for all of that to come. It's going to be a great event, and it's really important to have a ton of different people in ASUN walking in the parade with us. We have really cute banners this year. They've grown on me. I love them. And then I was also able to meet with some people from the city with Jada Maglinow and Maria to talk about events for March to the Arch and trying to see that through, as that was one of our campaign promises. It looks like it might be happening in the spring, which would be great, more fun events in the spring. So I'll keep you guys updated on that as I get more details and we figure out more of the planning part of that. And then just continuing with all of the orientation and follow your curiosity sessions. Again, thanking everyone who's helped with orientation during the breakout sessions. Still great feedback. Students are really excited. Hopefully we continue to grow our internship numbers. I was also able to meet with our Director of Gov Affairs and talk about goals for this year. And any updates I had on the field house, which is not a lot because our meeting over the summer for field house was canceled. So I don't have any concrete updates for you guys right now, but I'll keep you updated as I learn more about the field house project and when they're hoping to get that ballot question out. I also have just been continuing a lot of my other work with different organizations on campus. And then as Dion mentioned, we're going to the governor's dinner on Thursday, which will hopefully be great for connecting ASUN with amazing people in the community and furthering our goals as an association. But that's about it for me. If you guys have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Vice President Fitzpatrick. Are there any questions at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to a report from Chief Justice Taylor.
Hi, guys. I don't have a lot for you this week. I just wanted to let everybody know that the internship syllabus is done for the Judicial Council internship. So if you ever want to see what I'm going to be doing with my interns, just ask. I've been helping with the Follow Your Curiosity and breakout session presentation, the orientation. I've had a lot of fun there and kind of marketing the internship. Let's see, I sent over a legislation idea about changing some stuff in the judicial world to Senator Salah. And so I'm hoping that will be on the table within the next couple of weeks. And then finally, we have decided that our council meetings will be on Fridays at 10 a.m. and 3:24 in the Joe, just in case you guys want to attend. And I'm holding them outside of the CSC, and I'm gonna try to hold all of our hearings outside of the CSC, just to kind of create a more like neutral ground if people need to meet with us. So that's it for me, and I'll see you guys soon.
Thank you, Chief Justice Taylor. Are there any questions for him at this time? Then we'll go ahead and move on to Chief of Staff Martinez.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. Since we last met, I've been working with Senator Klassen regarding a piece for digital equity for students. So if you're interested, just go ahead and ask us any questions. We're still kind of in the brainstorming process of that, but I think it's going to be a really great piece. I've also been working on completing my internship syllabus and content. I'm going to be planning on sending out basically my initial draft to the president's cabinet within the next week or so. But if you hear anything or you have any input, you're more than welcome. Your feedback and ideas are more than welcome. I want the internship process to be as beneficial as possible to everybody, whether you're going to be an intern or, you know, like a officer or mentor or anything like that. And as always, please keep reposting that on your social media. It's super important that we get it out there. It doesn't matter if students are already on their fourth year here at the university. There is a place for everybody in the association, even if you aren't a first year student, even if you don't think, you know, you have the perfect personality type for the internship. But that being said too, I'm also happy to report that the headshots for summer retreat have been uploaded to the ASUN Flickr. I emailed the link to the album through the ASUN Gov listserv, but you can also search the ASUN Flickr for those. I've had several questions about headshots with the robes and the stoles that we took. The robes and the stoles are meant for judicial counsel only in their official capacity. So I apologize for that confusion that took place during the actual headshots. But if you really, really want your photo with the robe and the stoles for your personal use, you can reach out to our inkblot photographer personally, and you can contact me about their contact information. And also, if you miss the initial headshot session, we will have at least one other makeup session at the beginning of the session. And just stay tuned for details and times on those. Also, shout out to the IDEA Commissioner of Social Justice and Policy, Jocelyn Simmons, for her phenomenal piece in the Nevada Today. If you haven't read it yet, I highly encourage you to do so. And I look forward to seeing you all again this weekend at the Pride Parade. That's all from me.
Thank you, Chief of Staff Martinez. Are there any questions for her at this time? Then we'll go ahead and move into a report from the Chief of Internal Affairs, Jada Malcolm now.
Hi, y'all. I hope you're having a great night. I just have a quick report this time. The first thing is that Makeup Retreat is going to be happening on August 17th from noon to 5 p.m. If you need to attend, please RSVP that by this Friday. And if you can't attend, please clear it with Andrew, and he'll let me know who he has excused from this retreat. And then if you just want to attend and you've already attended the original retreat, please still RSVP by this Friday. It's not going to be a full repeat. We'll have different activities and chances for you to get to meet everyone who didn't go to retreat. So if you have a free day, I highly recommend going just as a chance to see everyone again before school starts. Like Bayla said, we met with the city event planner. So March from the Arch, there is a possibility of bringing it back, but it won't be coming back in October. It's just not feasible with our school schedule. But maybe we can do it in the spring and link it to another event. So as we develop our ideas, we'll be sure to let you know. And then also, I just want to let you know that polos are in the process of being ordered right now. I'm just waiting for the credit card request to go through, which means that we should have them before Nevada Fit events start, which is exciting. And that includes everyone, even those who were sworn in last week. And then lastly, our two-on-ones with Ashley and myself will pick up next week. Ashley and I have both just been out of town a lot and doing a lot of other things. So hopefully we'll be able to start next week. Other than that, if you guys have any questions or concerns or want to collaborate on any events, feel free to reach out to me, or until next time.
Thank you, CIA Macklin. Out. Do anyone have any questions for you? Or for, does anyone have any questions for her? A report from our Director of Clubs and Organizations, Director Taylor, and I have his report right here.
Sorry. Oh, I'm here. I'm so sorry, Andrew. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I end up making it. I'm so sorry. Okay, my apologies. I'm a mess right now, so I will just sign up. So hello, everyone. So nice to see your beautiful faces, as always. These last couple of weeks, my event committees have just been planning on, or not planning, they've just been busy with planning their events. We should be getting our guest speaker for iLead reserved sometime soon, and then we are just going into some tables and some food some food reservations for a club fair that are coming up. So that's what we've been working on. And then besides that, our club orientation training was released to some of our active clubs, so they should be able to do that. And so club renewal has been going pretty smoothly with all of the commissioners. And then I'm also planning on having one of our first department meetings in the next couple of weeks, because I had some clubs reach out to me about some funding that they needed prior to the school year starting. And so I'll be hoping to get that scheduled coming up in the next couple of weeks. And then I will also be reaching out to one of you very soon about some potential changes that I want to make to my funding manual, so that we can get that all adjusted. But other than that, if you have any questions, please reach out to me. And as always, have a happy Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in Dubai Wednesday.
Thank you, Director Taylor. Does anyone have any questions for him at this time? Then we'll go ahead and move into a report from our Director of Programming, Director Zamudio.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's having a great day. I've been working on the concert and offer letters for the artist. I had a meeting with Jam Pro, a production company, about potentially partnering with them for a future concert. And they also mentioned how they would like to offer some internship possibilities for the students who are interested in working in the industry. I have continued to work on What's the Scoop with CIA Maglanau, which will be happening during Move-In Week and Club Fair. I also had a meeting with the city of Reno, like Vice President Fitzpatrick and CIA already mentioned, and hopefully bringing back March from the Arch in the spring, which will give us more time to figure out logistics and fundraising. And my team and I have also started brainstorming homecoming ideas for themes and events. And that is all for me right now, but I hope everyone is enjoying their summer.
Thank you, Director Zamudio. Does anyone have any questions for her right now? And we'll go ahead and move into a report from our Director of Government Affairs, Director Vaskov.
Hello, everyone. Oh, let me turn my camera. Hello, everyone. Just a few updates. So on January 25th, Assemblywoman Peters is coming to campus with her staff so we can work out bill text. So this bill text will be for a borrower's bill of rights, similar to a bill we saw Assembly Watts bring to the last session of the Nevada State Legislature. Unfortunately, that bill was killed, so we want to revive it and make sure it succeeds this session. I also, for this conversation on next Monday, I wanted to loop in CSUN on this because this equally affects all four-year institutions. So I think that Southern Nevada students should definitely be include in the process. So that's happening on Monday. Then on the 27th, Gov Affairs and IDEA is hosting an Indigenous Student Interest Roundtable to talk with Assemblywoman Anderson about issues that pertain to the Indigenous student community on campus. They're also talking about legislation each session, or legislation from the last session that they're fixing up regarding the Indigenous student tuition waivers. So that's what we'll be talking about most of the time. I've been working to plan my department's week of welcome for voter registration, which is going to happen the week of September 19th. All the events are pretty much planned out. So in our next department meeting, we'll be sort of discussing that and approving those events, as well as approving the budget. So if you have any thoughts, be sure to come to that meeting or just send me an email if you want to give your input. And lastly, we are continuing projects as usual. So if you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Director Vaskov. Does anybody have any questions for her at this time? Speaker Pro Tempore, no.
Through the speaker to Director Vaskov, when did you say the bill writing like idea session with Assemblywoman Peters was again?
It's going to be next Monday. So let me check the date. That's the 25th.
Perfect. Are there any more questions? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into a report from the Director of IDEA, Director Wolfgang.
Hello, friends, beautiful Senate body. I hope the summer is going well for everyone. Orientation season has definitely been a blast. I love seeing all of you wonderful senators and officers at these orientation presentations. So thank you for all of those that have been able to come and present. All these incoming students have so much energy, and it's so exciting to have them all here on campus, really getting to know ASUN and all the awesome opportunities that are available to them within the association. I'm going to give you my contact information like I usually do. So if you ever need to email me, you can reach out to me at diversitydirector@asun.unr.edu, or you can call or text me at 702-332-7232. Now to some business updates. It's a little bit of a longer list, so it makes me feel weird with all my directors before me going so much quicker. But thanks to the wonderful and beautiful IDEA Commissioner Jocelyn Simmons, Director Lara and I were able to have a student submission on the Nevada Today website regarding why Pride is important and the impact it has on many lives of many different LGBTQIA2+ students and adults. If you were not able to read it, please give it a read. It's incredibly powerful and inspiring. So please, please read it. Thanks to my wonderful supervisor in NSI, Valeria Koss, I've been able to help many wonderful ASUN student leaders with the ASUN workshop presentations, which, like I said, has been so much fun. And I need to give a really big shout out to Director Zamudio. Last Friday, we didn't have anybody lined up to give the presentations, and me and Maria were both in the office, so we gave the presentations. It was kind of unplanned, but it was a lot of fun. We were making a lot of jokes and had a really good time with all the students that were able to go to those presentations. This Friday, Commissioner Simmons, Assistant Director Girma, and I have a meeting with Dr. Angela Moore from the University Diversity and Inclusion Office to talk about verified safe spaces on our campus. I was able to meet with Senator Gonzalez last week discussing support for undocumented students and HSI identifying students in collaboration with my advisor, Becca, and Vice President Fitzpatrick. Pride signups and involvement is in full swing. So like I mentioned in public comment, I do need to mention that signups will probably be wrapping up around Friday. So feel free to sign up as soon as possible today, tomorrow night, and send it to your friends if they are interested as well. A lot of information to everyone that has signed up will be going out probably Thursday night. With the awesome collaboration with Director Baskov and the Department of Government Affairs, we will be hosting an Indigenous Student Roundtable with Assemblywoman Anderson next Wednesday on July 27th at 1 p.m. in room 423 in the Joe Crowley Student Union. We've invited a bunch of Indigenous students, Indigenous leaders on our campus to be at this roundtable to talk about how this upcoming legislation might impact them as students and impact a lot of different community members within that community. Another really awesome collaboration with Director Baskov, Project Director Schaefer, and the Department of Government Affairs will be hosting a BIPOC panel focusing on voter registration, specifically focused on students that are part of historically underrepresented groups within the voting process in America. That will be hosted on September 19th, and it will likely be either hybrid or virtual, with more information likely coming from Director Baskov. I've met with Senator Greb to plan a menorah lighting on campus, which will be really awesome. This will be happening on December 19th. It's going to be a really awesome opportunity to celebrate the Jewish community here on campus. There's a lot of safety measures that we're going through right now when it comes to planning that. So we're kind of just working through that and creating a risk management plan for SEAB. I was also able to meet with Governor Sisolak last Saturday at a community leader roundtable alongside many other awesome ASUN officers. We talked about many issues impacting students and young adults, including but not limited to the cost of living, sustainability, sexual violence, and youth houselessness. If you all have any questions about kind of our conversation, you can reach out to myself or a few of the other officers that were able to attend. And last but not least, I've been able to make connections with Madison Weeks, who is the Community Relations and Support Services Specialist for the University Police Department, Northern Command, which is the position that I helped with the process of selection near the start of the 90th session, just a few months ago when I started in the position. Madison serves a really crucial role by creating a safer and more approachable connection to our police services, specifically with the focus and intention on IDEA-related goals. So they're very interested in connecting with more student leaders, specifically within ASUN. I kind of wanted to just get a poll if any students might be interested in connecting with Madison and furthering the connection we might be able to have with our police services that isn't directly with our officers that are in their uniforms with their pistols on their hips. It's more of a community specialist that is trying to bridge that gap a little bit. Is there any senators that might be interested? You could just throw up your hand reaction and I'll write it down. All right, I'm going to read you all back the list I have here, and then I'll continue on. So I have Senator Jojen, Senator Noble, Senator Salah, Senator Bryan, Senator Perez Ramirez, and Senator Schwackhammer. All righty, y'all. So that's the end of my report. Just keep up the great ideas, y'all, pun intended.
Perfect. Thank you, Director Wolfgang. Does anybody have any questions for them? Senator Jojen? I think that he might have just left his hand up from when he was raising it from earlier. Okay, we'll go ahead and move into our next report. The Director of Sustainability, Director Rowe, he sent me his little update today. He says he doesn't have really anything new to report and that he's been on vacation, but that he'll have more updates at our next meeting. Going into our next report, the Director of Campus and Public Relations, Director Lara.
Hi, everyone. So I hope you had a great past few weeks. First of all, I wanted to say thank you specifically to Commissioner of Social Justice and Policy, Jocelyn Simmons, for writing an absolutely incredible blog post. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's really, really good. It brought me to tears when I first read it. It's really good. Right now, we're working on plans to highlight the post through different mediums, such as LinkedIn, which I'm also thrilled about. I'm excited to announce that ASUN now has an official LinkedIn page, so you can say that you worked for ASUN. And it's a good way to communicate with past ASUN officers as well and see where they are in the future. So that's a new update. Recently, I've also been working with INCLA on the marketing calendar so that we have an idea of when things are coming up and things that need marketing. I'm working on impact-friendly businesses. I've also been working on redesigning the presidential seal. We have a few ideas and we'll let you know when that all comes into fruition. I've been working with Dion on an academic calendar letter as a means for promotion for the calendars that are going to be sold at the Wolf Shop. Proceeds are all going into the student textbook fund. And I'm also exploring more ways to connect with students and clubs on campus. This includes starting a project which would include letter writing. This is still in like the development stage, but it would essentially acknowledge student achievements on campus. And that way ASUN is kind of involved throughout the year on that. So that's still in the works, but I'll let you know when I have an update. I've also had a meeting with Senator Clausen where we discussed the potential ways to market the New York Times digital subscription available for free to students. Right now it's potentially going to be included in the ASUN newsletter and promoted on socials. Again, we'll give you an update when that comes up. The episode of the Sagebrushers featuring President Stanville and Vice President Fitzpatrick is going up next Wednesday, July 27th. I also have a quick announcement. Unfortunately, Nevada Ink, which was the campus printing service that printed all the materials for Inkblot except for stickers, is unfortunately closing down. So right now, Inkblot is working to find a new partner to continue the printing services that it offers. So just be aware that there's going to be further delays with printing and marketing material. And then finally, I have a short announcement, and it could be spread out to, I guess, to the officers. Essentially, I just wanted to remind everyone about the proper conduct expected from officers of the association when attending ASUN events, because we've had a few instances occur recently regarding this topic. So when at ASUN events, please make sure that you're acting in a way that best represents the association, including not partaking in inappropriate activity, especially in front of cameras. That's all from me. Let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Director Lara? Perfect. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into a report from the Director of Campus Wellness, Director Carpio Guerra.
Hello, everybody. I hope you guys are doing well. So I started off by contacting Director Lara on different wellness holiday months that would be beneficial to add onto the Inkblot posting calendar. Had my first meeting with AD Suzuki, which was beneficial. We both created a wellness calendar draft filled with many possible events/initiatives that we can try to take on. The calendar was made as a guide just so it's easier for us to focus and plan accordingly throughout the session. And we started the found the foundation for our wellness WOW events we want to put on. Like mentioned on my Senate presentation, I do want to tackle each well-being dimension. So the events we have drafted go as follow for August/September. We're first tackling social wellness for August, which will be Wellness Nevada Fit, socializing our freshmen, making them knowledgeable about wellness. Then for September, we have a collaboration with Undie Run, focusing on embodied wellness, which to note is not one of the eight dimensions, but is a part of wellness. And we want to do a hashtag Love Your Body Night. And then a possible collaboration with the clubs and orgs for a club fair where we can bring the Student Health Center to table for Immunization Awareness Month. And for September, an event centered on intellectual wellness, which right now we're thinking of a resource fair, just so students have access to all the helpful resources on campus on as soon as the fiscal year starts. Again, we're in the drafting process, so if you guys have any other ideas or would like to collaborate with the department, you're always free to email me or AD Suzuki. And then for the Wellness Nevada Fit, which will be happening during Nevada Fit, there have been, we kind of finalized on the wellness skill sessions. And those two sessions are our first session, which is skill session one, titled Find Your People. The description is during the session, students will develop relationship skills to spark new friendships. This session will enable students to make connections with peers outside their pack. And then skill session two is don't let your college experience be mid. College can be overwhelming, but you aren't in this alone. Learn how to lean on others and check on your friends during your time at Nevada. For the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. And that's it for me.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Director Carpio-Guerra at this time? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into a report from Attorney General Schein.
Can you guys hear me? Cool. So this week has been pretty slow. I've been working on those pieces of legislation that I was talking about. I had a meeting with the tech director last week to talk about making agendas or making reports go on the website instead. That's kind of a longer term project that I've been working on since I was speaker before. For those of you who don't know, basically, in my personal opinion, and I think some officers might share this opinion, reports go on quite long. They've been going on for an hour already. I think that if we could just transfer that into maybe officers in the executive branch write down our reports and then put them on the website for senators to view, that would give you guys the ability to look at them ahead of time, ask any questions that you have. That information would be more locked in, more easy to like refer to if you guys have any questions, like you go back to it to look at it. And we'd hopefully save about an hour of time where we can instead talk about like maybe Trace could go here and ask for volunteers for their pride events or something like that. Or even I could have more of a collaborative discussion like I'm having that right now, talking about like an idea. I think it'd be a little bit more worthwhile for all of our time. So I had that meeting last week. I know that some of the senators who I reached out to in prior couldn't attend the meetings due to just scheduling conflicts and things like that. Totally okay. I'm hoping to connect you guys with these projects maybe once when school gets back. It just seems like trying to like work over Zoom isn't working super well. So I was figuring I would just kind of slow down a little bit on some of the legislative projects and work on those when everyone gets back from summer break. But that being said, I'm also working with directors on agendizing. I'm planning on reaching out to NSHE at some point just because I've been having a lot of problems with us having like the physical meeting location restriction. So I want to talk to the NSHE lawyers. I'm not sure if there's some way we could get like a process where we're exempt from that section specifically so we can hold meetings exclusively over Zoom. Just because by the nature of what we do, it seems like that would be a lot easier, especially with us being scattered around like the states right now. But I'll have to set that meeting up. I'm not totally sure how that'll go. And then aside from that, I've just been working on agendizing. I'm going to be the one agendizing for cabinet for going forward, just because it's a little bit easier. I have a little bit more experience than some of the other officers doing it, so I can ensure that it follows open meeting law and everything. So I'll be working with the executive officers to do that. If you guys have anything you want on the agenda, probably just shoot that in a group chat with me and Dion would be easiest. Other than that, I've just been ensuring that open meeting law is followed. I check the posting locations about 3 times a week. If you guys are a committee chair, you guys have any questions about legislation or about agendas, probably just shoot me a text. I'd rather have that conversation with you before you post your agenda, before I have to cancel the meeting rather than afterwards, because that's a little bit more awkward. But yeah, if you guys have any questions about Attorney General stuff, I'm always.
Thank you, Attorney General Schein. Does anybody have any questions for him? Report from Senate Secretary Oyelin.
Hey, y'all. So for the sake of brevity, I won't be giving a report today, but if you are a chair or a director and you're planning on holding a meeting before the summer ends, or if you haven't already held one this summer, please hit me up. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll go ahead and move into a report for myself. So we'll go back. Senator Jojen.
Yeah, sorry, I just had a quick question for Secretary Leland.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about, you know, I know there are some discussions regarding the Senate bindings. I wanted to see, did you have like any update on that? Because that's a situation I was following.
Yes, so basically right now we're in the process of just kind of tracking down the vendors. Our records for vendor lists for CSE don't go back before 2017, which is a little bit odd. So we've sent in some requests. I'm planning on getting in touch with Inkblot to sort of get a little more footing there. But I've been talking with senators and directors to sort of get some progress on that, including with Director of IDEA Wolfgang. But yeah, so not much, but expect to see legislation once we return in the fall.
Okay, looks like Secretary Leland's having some internet issues, but did that answer your question, Senator Jojen?
Yeah, I'll follow with them offline because it seems like he's having some internet issues, so catch up with them on the DMs.
Okay, perfect. So we'll go ahead and move into a report for myself. So in terms of anything new, as Director Wolfgang had mentioned earlier, myself, Senator Noble, Director Wolfgang, and Chief Justice Taylor were some of the ASU officers that were able to attend a roundtable discussion on Saturday with Governor Sisolak. I won't, and we can talk a little bit more about that discussion and what we got from it. In terms of anything else, this week was the first week that I have stopped sending emails to your personal emails. Now that everyone's emails have been updated and we have the Senate listserv together, that's where all of our updates will be sent. I know that Senator Smith already reached out to me and said that they didn't receive the email that I sent on Monday, so I am following up with the tech department. There might have been a typo that happened whenever they were typing in your email. Senator Landolfi. Okay, so I'll go ahead and check up on that as well, just to see if those were typos whenever they were updating listserv. But yeah, from now on, all updates regarding Senate will be going through your senator emails, so make sure you're checking those regularly. But if there are no other questions, we'll go ahead and move on. Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move back down to agenda item 18, miscellaneous business. Presentations will allow our attendees of the CLDE conference to give their takeaways and to talk about what they learned at that event.
Awesome. Okay, hi again, Senators. So as you know, Amanda, Olivia, Kimmy and I attended the 2022 Civic Learning and Democratic Engagement Conference that was held in Minneapolis, Minnesota on June 21 through 24. The conference was hosted by the American Democracy Project, which is a network of nearly 300 state colleges and universities in higher education. The American Democracy Project is a nonpartisan initiative that partners with the New York Times. And the theme of this conference was equity and democracy, and offers a unique opportunity for faculty, staff, and students and administrators. So we're just going to take the next couple of minutes to explain to the Senate body and the associated students the purpose and our takeaways and our action plans.
Here, go ahead.
I think you're muted, Amanda.
Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, so the purpose of this conference was to, with the American Democracy Project, talk about ways to bridge equity with civic engagement. So as ASUN attendees, our goal was to apply tactics and things that we learned to things that ASUN already does. So we'll get more into that in the following points. So first off, I feel like I can speak for the rest of the attendees when I say that UNR is very ahead in the civic engagement space, and that's something we should be very proud of. We had roundtable conversations with administration at other state schools, and we talked about and discussed what civic engagement events we did. And for everyone they listed, it was like, oh, UNR does that, UNR does that. So we're ahead in this space. So deliberative dialogues we do, we have common pool resources like websites, a CSC website for elections. We have common pool resources like PAC provisions. And we also participate yearly in the All In Democracy Challenge, which if you don't know what that is, it's just basically like an opt-in pledge to facilitate civic engagement on campus. But unlike the other schools, we also have connection building opportunities with legislators. So coffee with counselors, lobbying ahead of this session. We also have campus specific events like Elect All the People, and we have collaboration with other campus departments like the Center for Student Engagement, collaboration among executive departments like ID and Government Affairs, as well as collaboration with administration. So that's all stuff that UNR should be very proud of. And that's definitely a takeaway we learned.
For sure. And going off of that, I think specifically for Amanda and I, we really had a lot to take away for planning the senatorial debate that is hopefully happening soon, and just other such events for civic engagement and student engagement with politicians who represent them, specifically just how to functionally reach out to these politicians and make sure that we are providing adequate information for them to want to say yes to coming to our campus, and just sort of things like that in like logistical areas of such things. Yes.
Yeah. And then another takeaway I wanted to share was the importance of coalition building and how that's probably something we should do more of at the university. So basically, coalition building is like cultivating relationships and just sharing about like progress and the work that you're doing amongst like different stakeholders of DCE. And this on our university specifically can include like ASUN, CSC, the Office of Service Learning and Civic Engagement, faculty, community partners, clubs, housing, MARCOM, kind of any like facilities within that area, because we found that like when it comes to transparency and communication about the work, it was a little bit lacking on our part due to like our lack of communication, kind of talking to like faculty and other facilities around campus when like, you know, the work that we do is really great, so that we should definitely be proud of sharing that. So definitely like more coalition building going forward is something that I want to focus on. And then with that, we're going to move on to like possible action items that we took away from the conference.
Yeah. So at this conference, we got to learn a lot about what other schools do. And from that, we got our own ideas. So one of the things that we could possibly do is establish voter registration sites on campus. I actually already have my assistant director, Isabella Hatt, working on this. So it's basically attempting to train leaders within various departments on campus that can be like, or I shouldn't say departments, I should say spaces, that can be like people within the Disability Resource Center, people within the Latino Research Center, or the Multicultural Center, training people within those spaces to teach people how to register to vote. Because we figure that for students that have more specialized needs, being registered to vote in a space that serves you might feel more comfortable. So that's a work in progress already. Action item two is also a voter registration Canvas module. Something that a lot of schools seem to do was put voter registration information on their syllabi. I reached out to the chair of Faculty Senate to see how feasible that would be. And it honestly sounds like more of a coordination problem. So I figured that students use Canvas more anyway, which is also where they access their syllabi. So definitely gonna do a Canvas module for voter information.
And then action item three, an idea that Kimmy and I had, and this is something that's very near and dear to my heart, as many of you know, is going to rural areas of the state and specifically to high schools, most specifically in Northern Nevada, and sharing the importance of civic engagement, and then also including a small plug in there about joining ASUN and then just being politically and civically engaged in higher education after high school. And then the fourth action item, so with my connection to the Nevada Student Alliance, we are thinking of having a friendly competition among all of the NSHE institutions, just as far as voter registration goes, you know, typically it's very UNR versus UNLV, but including other community colleges and two-year colleges into this competition. That way it goes beyond just the University of Nevada community.
Yeah, and kind of going off of that,
and then our fifth action item was creating a voter guide in Spanish, because we figured that we have a growing HSI population on campus, so catering to that would be a great way to bridge equity with civic engagement.
Right. And then another idea we had that I started reaching out to AD Hat about with Gov Affairs is like more collaboration with Nevada Athletics in regards to like voter engagement or just creating buzz around local issues. This is something we got from talking to like a lot of universities in Virginia. If y'all ever want to look up like civic engagement initiatives with universities in Virginia, they're all like super robust. But the idea is to like kind of capitalize on the publicity potential that comes from athletics because of like student interest in them, but also like just the general like media attention in the local community. We found that that partnership could be potentially like beneficial for getting students engaged, not only like our student athletes, but also the student body in general. And along with that, some like more interactive tabling ideas for voter engagement. I'm not going to go into like details about that, but if you want the specific ideas, feel free to reach out to me. And then something Senator Carlson and I also talked about was like increasing knowledge around campus for the free New York Times access that we have. So basically, if you're a student or faculty or staff member here, you get to access New York Times news for free if you sign up through the library. And we're particularly looking at this as like doing professor-oriented outreach in regards to like New York Times as an open educational resource. We're still in the process of like brainstorming how to do that, whether it's through like reaching out to Faculty Senate or other entities around campus. But I know that senators at this table have also worked on OER. So if y'all have any suggestions, feel free to let us know. Kimmy, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, so just going off of what Senator Ngo just said, we're really specifically trying to market to professors for the New York Times being an open educational resource. But in order to make that happen, we have to make sure that students know that they have free access to it. So I've been working with Director Laura to see how we can do increased student outreach regarding the New York Times. Also, just subtle plug back to the rural tour idea that Dion and I had. I'm very excited to be working on that project. So if you have any questions about that, we're still very much in like the brainstorming process, but if you have any questions or feedback, please let us know. But also agenda item number 6, I believe, is the NPR College podcast contest. So I attended a little breakout with NPR and they do an 8-minute podcast contest for college students. So I just kind of wanted to plug that in here. If you have any questions for me regarding that, please just let me know. But I think that it would be a really cool idea to collaborate amongst colleges, collaborate amongst branches within ASUN. There's a lot of avenues that we could go to that. So if you're interested in it in an ASUN capacity, that's great. But also if you're just interested in it in a personal capacity, I would love to give you more information about that.
So overall, we recommend the ASUN probably should not attend this conference in the future. Just given the ASUN seemed to certainly be the leader of civic learning and democratic engagement, and it's very more autonomous compared to other institutions. We found ourselves actually teaching the other institutions how Nevada does it, which was great, but it was a great conference overall. And us girls definitely, we made the most of it and we engaged our best, but the conference was beneficial, but not quite justifiable to attend in the future for the price that it costs to attend. At the end of the conference, though, we did speak to the planners and we shared how we think that it could have been improved and it could have been better. So hopefully they will take our recommendations and implement them into the future.
Yeah, and kind of just to add on to that, last Friday, I also had another meeting with the planners with some of the other student leaders that we met during the conference. Again, like our concerns were received well, but again, it's not like probably worth investing in student funds to find that out. Our biggest concern among students, for full transparency at the conference, was like the elitist nature of the conference, because this conference began as for like a group of administrators, mostly some presenters and people who attend the conference just weren't very naturally like receptive to hearing student ideas. So navigating those relationships just on an interpersonal level throughout the conference is very tricky. That being said, we do think that it could be beneficial for like university faculty or for someone in Becca or Haneen's current coordinating positions within CSE to attend. because they focus a lot on like pedagogy and strategy and like building relationships within the community, which is a lot of what those two positions coordinate, but there wasn't too much focus on student government directly. And then when you factor in costs of like travel and distance and all of that, the investment is a lot. So I believe that's the end of our spiel for today. If you all have any like questions, any comments about what we said.
Thank you guys. I think it's really great to be able to kind of see where ASUN sits inside the world of democratic civic engagement, especially among all of these different universities that you all had the opportunity to speak with. Does anyone have any questions for them on their experience, on what they, you know, observed at the conference that they haven't elaborated on already? Senator Clausen?
Sorry. I just wanted to add in before we were finished that we all worked on creating a little two-pager just with all this information. So if you sort of want to look it over again and have questions from that, just reach out to me and I'd be happy to send it over.
That's really cool. Definitely something to stick in the legacy box, you know, for the future so that whenever down the road, if people want to consider going to this conference or not, they can take a look at some of the summaries that you guys made. Perfect. So if nobody else has any other questions, then we'll go ahead and conclude with this presentation. Thank you guys for sharing your experience. Perfect. So we're going to jump back up to the top of the agenda again to agenda item number 9, comments and announcements. Are there any senators that have any comments or announcements at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move down to agenda item number 14, first reading of legislation. The following pieces were submitted to me for a first reading today. The first being SR 90, a resolution in support of establishing the Nevada CARES Advocacy Center. This piece was requested to be fast-tracked by Senator Noble. So going ahead and moving into agenda item number 15, motions to fast-track legislation. I am now seeking a motion to fast-track SR 90, a resolution in support of establishing the Nevada CARES Advocacy Center. Senator Noble?
I move to fast-track SR 90, a resolution in support of establishing the Nevada CARES Advocacy Center through unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Perfect. And is there any opposition to that motion? Perfect. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and this piece will be fast-tracked. Going ahead and moving down to agenda item number 17, second reading of legislation. Now that this piece has been fast-tracked, I am requesting a motion to approve SR 90, a resolution in support of establishing the Nevada CARES Advocacy Center. Senator Nithinandan?
I move to approve Senate Resolution 90, a resolution in support of establishing the Nevada CARES Advocacy Center.
Second.
Second.
Perfect, thank you. And with that, we're gonna go ahead and move into a presentation from the authors, Senator Noble and SBT No. If you guys would like to share what this piece is about, I hope that all senators have had the opportunity to take a chance to read it. And then at that point, we'll see if there's any questions that can be answered.
Alrighty, I can start us off. Thank you so much for listening to our presentation tonight. So I'm just gonna give like a little bit of background. So the problem that this legislation is tackling at large is sexual assault and violence on college campuses. So there's some national statistics in the legislation, but just to kind of frame it more towards the University of Nevada, this is according to our 2019 climate survey. So when it comes to sexual harassment and assault, this affects 25% of cisgender women, 18% of cisgender men, and 37% of transgender and gender nonconforming students at the University of Nevada. So it's a big problem. And in all these cases, they go largely unreported due to a couple reasons, such as like fear of retaliation, either from the perpetrator or from higher ed systems themselves. Uncertainty about whether or not something constitutes sexual assault, and then also the re-traumatization that can happen within these reporting processes. So something that a solution that has been proposed at the state level by the legislature for these problems within higher ed in Nevada is Senate Bill 347. So it directs NSHE to do a couple of things. So for example, like create a sexual misconduct task force or increase Title IX and misconduct trainings. A lot of this has been fleshed out already by our institution, but some things that we still need to work on include connecting students with local resources, designating confidential victim advocates, and then programming on like sexual assault awareness and prevention. And the avenue to kind of tackle these at UNR is something called Nevada Cares, and all of their efforts kind of centralize these goals in one location. And they're gonna have a physical location in the fall, which is the Nevada Cares Advocacy Center. So I'm gonna turn it over to Senator Noble to explain the development behind that.
Perfect. So as my colleague mentioned, we have a wonderful program here on campus called Nevada Cares. They do a variety of amazing work with survivors of sexual assault, as well as sexual assault training and prevention efforts. Their programs are wide-reaching, and honestly, they are, in my view, sort of a one-stop shop for anything you could ask for on this subject. While certainly not the only resource, they are absolutely worthy of support. And to this end, once we passed a previous piece that I worked on last session, they got in contact with us and pitched us this project basically as an innovative way to address this issue on our campus. And I was thrilled personally. I worked with a variety of other folks in the association. And as a result, the last session allocated $5,000 to help get their project off the ground. I stopped by last week to see how it's gone, how they've used that money, and what they've got so far. And I was extremely impressed by everything that I saw. The staffing, the hiring, the location, although admittedly Kane Hall isn't prime real estate, the space that they have is very nice. It's cozy. And what they were mainly asking for at this point is guidance on what services students would like to take advantage of in this center. So, to that end, we have created this piece, which not only officially endorses the project and directs Carlos and Boris to give them full marketing support, but it also basically lays out the services that we would like to see in this center once it opens for the fall semester. Hopefully, this is a new development. I've been talking to CIA Magla now about planning a grand opening for this so that we can blast it out there as much as possible and get this service up, running, and widely utilized. It's going to be fantastic. And yeah, I hope that y'all are as excited as I am. I'll now take any questions y'all might have.
Thank you to the presenters. We'll go ahead and open the floor for questions now. Senator Bergeron.
Beautiful piece. I think that this piece has so much information. I'm always really happy to see whenever pieces are on the table and there's lots of information, especially about a serious topic and especially talking about sort of a pocket of information on campus. That's really valuable. So wonderful piece. Please let me know if this is relevant or not. It can totally not be relevant, but I remember a piece of legislation coming through last session, Senator Noble, I believe around the same topic. I just wanted to see if there was like any relevancy or if there is anything from the last session that was really crucial to carrying on to this session about that piece. I forget if that is relevant, but if it's not, please correct me.
Thank you for that question, Senator Bergeron. Good memory on that one. Yes, that was one of my pieces from last session. Specifically, so the best way I can describe that one is SB 347 was a huge step in the right direction. But the majority of its provisions were non-enforceable. They were only optional. And unfortunately, as of yet, the Board of Regents has yet to take advantage of most of those provisions. Basically, what the piece last session was doing was encouraging our university and the Board of Regents as a whole to take full advantage of all the powers that that piece gives them. What this is, Senator Bergeron, is the realization of that. Because this falls, I believe, under item 3, forming a designated survivor center on campus for an NSHE institution. And so it actually very it's almost a textbook correlation to what is in that piece of legislation. But the difference is, whereas that one was a very broad, big picture war table kind of look at this situation, this is a very specific project, if you know what I mean.
Senator Bryan.
For the speaker, to the authors, I was curious as to how will the term sexual assault, relationship violence, and stalking be defined, and if it will be left up to the discretion of Nevada CARES. I worry about students not knowing to be protected by this.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Senator Bryan. Those are obviously very important questions. I believe Daniel Fred sort of addressed this in his presentation to us right before retreat. The way that they deal with these terms are as slightly different things, but generally grouped under the label of power-based violence, which is what Nevada CARES deals with, just broadly power-based violence. Now, each one constitutes a different thing, and legally, there's a very specific definition that might be what you're looking for. However, that's not really relevant to this particular project because that's what the Title IX office deals with. And Nevada CARES actually is very explicit in saying that they try to actually raise the bar. So for instance, legally speaking, the state of Nevada outlines that once you consent, if you then revoke consent and the other person does not stop, that is legally speaking not counted as a sexual assault. However, we all know that that is definitely a sexual assault. And Nevada CARES recognizes that as well. And so the law is here. Nevada CARES tries to elevate that to there. And what that really looks like is trying to make these very serious issues a lot more palatable and digestible when they occur in real situations on campus. As for a definition, I don't know that there is a specific one that we can use in every instance for each one outside of the legal definition. Does that answer your question, Senator Bryan?
Yes, just to clarify, it'll be left up to the discretion of whomever helps these people, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Senator Nithya Nandan.
This is awesome. Through the speaker, to the authors. I was just wondering, looking at the services like trauma counseling and like mental health care, were there any conversations with like UNR counseling to see if this could be like something they work together on and like have collaborations in the future?
Thank you so much for the question, Senator Nithya Nandan. In my conversations with Daniel Fred, basically what I understand is that UNR Counseling Services will be providing some of these specific programs, or more accurately, the center will direct students to the services that they provide. It's a little bit of, I don't know if you would call it a collaborative project, but they are definitely involved in this process. And from what I've heard, they are very supportive of this effort as a whole.
Recording in progress.
Are there any additional questions for the authors? Senator Galvez.
Through the speaker to the authors, can you hear me all right? I was wondering what kind of resources will the Nevada CARES specifically be providing versus what resources they will be directing students to, because I understand that it's going to be very approachable for students, but it won't be able to provide everything and will be directing students to other resources and programs. So I'm looking at line 24 on page 5, and it lists a bunch of things that it offers, and I'm wondering which of those are through Nevada CARES and which are through other programs.
That's a fair question, Senator Galvez. Basically, as I understand it, Nevada CARES mainly deals with the mental health side of things. they aren't licensed to perform any like actual physical medical procedures or operations in there. And also probably wouldn't be able to provide tutoring insight, but might, for instance, direct students to someone who might be able to help them with that particular issue. However, for each one of these, I ran this by Nevada Cares. They at the very least have someone in mind, if not multiple different options for resources that are readily available for students to take advantage of. Does that answer your question?
It does, thank you.
Can I add on to that super quickly? All right, I was just gonna say, yeah. So if you're looking at line like 20, page 5, 22 to 23, when it comes to like a goal of the center is to inform, educate individuals about like also resources that are out within in the community at large. And that's why we included on page 3, that like first bullet point over there from SB 347 about like those memorandums of understanding. It's basically Nevada Cares Advocacy Center. Since advocacy is in the name, it can also, their resources can also like connect students to larger like local organizations, whether it comes to like legal policies or like prevention programming kind of outside the realm of the university. That is something that could be like directed to, students can be directed to those through the Nevada Nevada Cares Advocacy Center. I'm so sorry, my voice isn't fine.
Thank you.
Perfect. Are there any more questions for the presenters on this piece? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move into a vote. This vote is to approve SR 90, a resolution in support of establishing the Nevada Cares Advocacy Center. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Any abstentions? Perfect. And with that, the piece passes. Congratulations, Senator Ngo and Senator Noble. All right, going ahead, we're going to move back into miscellaneous business, agenda item 18B, Senator reports. Are there any senators that would like to report on any of the projects that they are working on currently? Ahead, moving into agenda item number 19, comments and announcements. Are there any residual comments and announcements to be shared at this time? Senator Bergeron?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to go ahead and provide the link to Campus Pad so everyone can kind of get a look at it if you are interested. Here is the, this is specifically to University of Nevada, Reno places to live. And then if you explore the website further, you can also see other universities. I know UT Austin in Austin, Texas has a really, really good example of what this would look like. So if you guys just wanted to go ahead and look at other universities and see what they're doing so you can get a pretty good justification on what this website will provide, that would be awesome if you have any other questions. But yeah, let me know if you guys have anything else. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Bergeron. Is there any additional comments and announcements? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into agenda item number 20, public comment. Is there any public, Director Rodriguez?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to provide some clarification to what President Stanfill added. I'm holding a round table in my office on Monday from 11 to 2. Anybody's welcome to drop by if you have any questions about the process related to developing the action plan for the recommendations. And then I sent out that link. I hope that you all take the time to fill it out. We are trying to figure out what would be the best time to try and get as many of the officers and student employees in the same place at the same time. There's a lot of information to present. Please take the time to fill it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rodriguez. Is there any additional public comment at this time? Perfect. So our next meeting will be on August 3rd at 5:30 p.m. And as always, I'll send out that weekly update on August 1st with the agenda. Moving ahead into agenda item number 21, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting on Wednesday, July 20th at 7:10 p.m. Have a good evening, everyone.